stand by. Good day, everyone, and welcome to today's Lotus Channel Competitive Talk discussing emerging software trends in the SMB market. Today's call is being recorded. Now I'd like to turn the call over to Deborah Cole. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Laura. Hello, everyone, and good day. Welcome to the fourth in our series of channel competitive talks for 2008. I'm looking forward to our guest speaker shortly. But first, what I wanted to do is to ask you your help in making these calls most effective for you. The intention of the channel competitive talks is for your business partners specifically to provide you with the information and insight you need to be more competitive in today's market. So I'll ask you today, either through email to me or via chat session during this presentation, to give me your thoughts and ideas on topics you would like covered in upcoming talks. By the way, those topics can include competitive, compelling topics that you, our business partners, present to this audience. So please keep that in mind as well. And with that, I'm going to turn the call over to Debbie Sanders. She's Principal Segment Analyst supporting the Software Group's General Business Unit here at IBM. And today, as Laura pointed out, Debbie will be covering market intelligence regarding emerging software trends in SMB. And with that, Debbie, I'll turn the call over to you.
Okay, great. Thank you, Deborah. So as Deborah mentioned, I am a segment analyst, and I am in the Market Intelligence Center of Excellence for IBM. And my clients are within Software Group, and they focus on general business. And this particular discussion we're going to have today is a subset of a marketplace assessment that I had assembled for my clients within Software Group General Business. And what I do as a segment analyst to prepare this information is I use industry analysts such as Gartner and IDC and Forrester, as well as some niche segment analysts, as an example, AMI Partners, that focuses specifically on the SMB market, or Saugatuck Technologies, that focuses on emerging software trends, as well as industry pundits that publish on the web and articles and magazines. And I assimilate all of that information into a marketplace assessment to provide my clients with some strategic direction on what IBM should be doing in response to the trends that are happening in the market, both happening now as well as what we see happening in the future. What I'm going to be sharing with you today, as I mentioned, is a subset of that information that I have provided to my clients. So it has not been cleansed in any way. You're going to see exactly what my clients see, and this is so that you have a good understanding of what's going on in the market as we do. So the first thing I would like to do then is to remind you, because of what I told you, that this, of course, is very confidential information, and it's not, of course, to be shared outside of the company. So today, what we're going to cover, today what we're going to cover are three areas. We're going to talk about the trends that are happening in the SMB market, as well as the opportunity that this market presents. We're going to talk about some customer buyer behavior data and information, as well as some channel information. So the first area that we're going to cover is going to answer a couple of questions on what are the key trends affecting the marketplace today and the hot areas of opportunity. So first of all, when we talk about the SMB market, I want to be clear that we're talking about small and medium businesses, and small businesses in our terminology are businesses with 1 to 99 employees, and then medium businesses, or what we call mid-market, are 100 to 999 employees. Generally, I'm going to be talking about the SMB market as a whole, which is companies, businesses that have between 1 and 999 employees. There's going to be some information in this presentation that's going to cover the mid-market. And when that is, when I have information that is specific to the mid-market, then I will let you know. So here we're going to be talking about the SMB market as a whole. And I'm going to give you an overview of the trends that are happening in this market. And we're going to start with the box up on top and go around the world, so to speak, to the right. So the SMB market is really a very exciting place to be. And there's many things that are changing in this market. As recently as 2 years ago, IT vendors attempted to address this market by repackaging and repricing their enterprise offerings and trying to push them through the channel. And that was largely unsuccessful. So last year, there was a lot of activity in this market from major IT vendors, such as, of course, IBM, HP, SAP, Oracle, etc., coming out with offerings that were specifically tailored to meet SMB needs. And so now what's happening is that whereas before SMBs had a difficult time trying to find offerings that met their needs, now they have a myriad of choices from which to choose, and this is more or less putting SMBs in the driver's seat, where now they can demand what they want to fit their needs at the price that they want. And SMBs as a whole, worldwide, are not only becoming more important for the reason that I gave you, but also because they are moving upstream in revenue and in personnel and in the complexity of their business. And they have sophisticated needs like their larger counterparts. So you've probably heard this many times before, but a small company does not mean small problems. It's just the opposite. Small companies have complex problems like large enterprises, but unlike their large enterprise counterparts, they don't have the IT skills and resources that they need to address them. So it becomes even more of a challenge for them to try to solve their business issues. The good news is that SMBs are going to invest in IT to help them solve their business issues, and they're going to increase their IT investments in 2008. However, they will be more diligent in the way in which they select and deploy their best-in-class solutions. And this is, of course, in part due to the fact that they have a lot more choices. Now, I will put a footnote here in that we are now in June of 2008. This was prepared in March 2008 based upon analyst information that was available at the end of last year or the beginning of this year. And so there's been a lot that's been going on in the economy, both in the United States and worldwide, and there have been analysts that have been bringing down the growth projections for the IT market overall. I will say, however, that there's pretty much a consensus within the market that SMB investment in IT will grow in 2008, and it will grow faster than the overall investment by large enterprises. Looking at the box in the bottom right, there are going to be a lot of new entrants into this market due to the attractiveness of SMBs worldwide. It's clear that because of the fact that the growth is now in SMBs, everyone finds this market attractive. And there are going to be new entrants like traditionally consumer-oriented vendors such as Google and Amazon and eBay, et cetera, who are going to try to move up to business applications while at the same time the large IT vendors are going to be moving downward to try to address smaller companies. So what you're going to have is you're going to have a collision of these consumer-oriented vendors moving up into business, small business and medium business, while IT vendors are moving down into small and medium business. So SMB is going to be ground zero of this very interesting collision. Looking down at the bottom, I'm going to talk a lot more about good enough software in the next couple of slides. So I will just say that all of this that we've talked about up to this point is really driving a new paradigm in the way that software is going to be delivered to these companies. And we'll talk more about good enough software and the ways in which good enough software are going to affect the software industry. So let's talk a little bit about what these companies are facing. You know, I said that they have large enterprise problems. So what are their major pressures? They have external and internal pressures, mainly around meeting customer demand and trying to handle increasing competition, all at the same time that they're also trying to increase their efficiencies and decrease their costs. The SMB environment is very competitive. They're not only competing with companies of their like size, but they're also competing against companies that are larger than they are. And they have to really put on a very professional face. And so they have to try to meet their customer demands in these competitive situations with IT solutions that they may not have been able to afford before, but because of these alternative software delivery models and good enough software that we're going to talk about, they're going to be able to do that in a much better way. SMBs still rely very heavily on third-party vendors, due, of course, to the fact that they do not have a myriad of IT skills in their own shops, so they have to rely on someone else to help them to get their IT solutions. And what they have some high expectations of their vendors, expectations like implementation experience and complete solution and vertical expertise. So we'll talk a little bit more about this as well. So finally, when looking at this complete landscape, no discussion about this would be complete without talking about emerging countries. Emerging countries not only have higher overall IT growth, like in low double digits, they also have a higher number of smaller companies than some of the mature countries like the United States. So emerging countries like Brazil and Russia and India and China are very attractive for IT vendors because of the IT growth that's happening as well as the large number of SMBs. And there are even countries beyond BRIC that are increasingly becoming attractive for IT vendors. So overall, even though this market is comprised of smaller businesses, it's a bigger market and a bigger opportunity overall for IT vendors. So what effect does this have on the software market? So we've just talked about some of the customer drivers in this market. These companies are interested in growth and innovation. At the same time, though, they need to have products and solutions that are easy to implement and use, that are fit for their needs, and give them a lower cost of ownership. So this is driving what we're calling disruptive software delivery models. And three examples of disruptive software delivery models are open source and appliances and software as a service. We're going to talk more about these three in the next couple of slides. If you look on the other side of this chart and look at the emerging software trends, there are several trends that are going on in the market that are affecting SMBs. But when talking about some software that is emerging in importance here, we could talk about business intelligence and unified communications as an example, and we will talk about those. And you can get more or less a menu of combinations of the ways in which these SMBs can consume these solutions. You can have business intelligence that is delivered as an appliance. You can have unified communications that is delivered as software as a service. These solutions can contain elements of open source. So this is driving hybrid solutions and new business models, and essentially shifting now the value from the traditional IT profit pools of on-premise hardware, software, and services. So this creates both opportunities and threats for IT vendors in this market. So now we're going to talk about something called the threat of good enough software. This is a very interesting phenomenon that is happening in the market. So good enough software essentially has three basic characteristics. It's free or lower cost, it's easy to use, and it has a low entry cost. And there are three good business models that give you an example of good enough technology. Free or lower cost could very well be represented by open source. Appliances are easy to use, they lack complexity, and they're quick and simple to implement. And SaaS, of course, represents more or less frictionless acquisition, which has low entry cost and few incremental skills that are required to deploy. If you recall Clay Christensen's book, The Innovator's Dilemma, he talks about what's called the threat from the low end. And he points out that disruptors in the market don't start off by going directly after the customers of the big established companies. Rather, they serve customers who have never had access to such offerings before. And there are some classic examples in the IT industry. For example, Microsoft and its resellers sold PCs to individuals in the departments that never had access to mainframes. The Internet emerged, serving individuals that didn't have access to premium online services. So what does this have to do with what's going on today? Well, now today we see vendors who are providing the capabilities to access applications and services that companies never had access to before. Taking Salesforce.com as an example, the poster child of software as a service, they are providing CRM-type applications and ERP applications to SMBs that heretofore did not have access to these types of services before. So good enough software is now allowing SMBs to have access to IT solutions that they could not afford before, therefore allowing them to effectively address their IT issues at a lower cost, easier to use, that's fit for their need. So looking a little bit more closely at these alternative software delivery models, adoption is happening in SMBs, although it's happening slowly. Looking at software as a service first, software as a service is in SMB, adoption in SMBs is trailing enterprise adoption at this point. However, there are projections from analysts like IDC that are saying that the mid-market adoption of SaaS is going to be the highest amongst all company sizes from now until 2012, with a compound growth rate of around 34%. And the benefits of software as a service clearly address the challenges that SMBs have. Top benefits such as rapid deployment and lower upfront cost, less IT resources needed. There are some challenges, however, to adoption of SaaS, like data security and data migration and integration, and these really have to be addressed before SaaS really crosses the chasm. Adoption of SaaS in SMBs is highest in payroll and HR type applications, as well as instant messaging and web conferencing. Appliances, we believe, almost represent the other side of the coin. If you look at the top benefits of appliances, they're very similar to the benefits of SaaS. we still have easier and faster implementation, freeing up IT resources, lower total cost of ownership. However, the challenges are not technical challenges that have to be overcome. The challenges really have to do with lack of familiarity of the benefits that appliances can provide, as well as lack of appliance offerings available in the areas where they need them. These are nice problems to have. The current and future adoption of appliances is highest in unified communications and backup and archiving. Those are areas where growth is projected to be highest for appliance adoption. So we see appliances as a good alternative to software as a service. They don't have a lot of the top challenges that software as a service have, but they represent benefits that SMBs are looking for. And an ideal situation would be a hybrid approach where part of the solution is hosted and part of the solution is appliances, and we're seeing more and more of that happening in the market today. Moving to open source, Gartner predicts that by 2012, 80% of all commercial software is going to contain elements of open source software. And in a recent survey by Sagatuck Technologies, small enterprises see open source software as a key reason to buy from vendors. They see it because it reduces the cost of development, which they believe then reduces their total cost of ownership and helps them to avoid vendor lock-in. The biggest challenge to open source software is that software vendors lack the strategy to address this threat. So the bottom line here is that we're going to see SMBs consume software using a number of different alternative software delivery models because they help to address many of the SMB challenges that are there today. Moving on now to some emerging software technology trends, we're going to talk about business intelligence and unified communications in Web 2.0. Many of you are probably saying, well, business intelligence and unified communications have been around for years, and that's true. They have. However, recently, they have become much more important to SMBs. For BI, 19% of SMBs are currently using some form of business intelligence in their organizations. And 14% of upper mid-market, which is 500 to 999 employees, plan a first-time purchase of business intelligence in 2008. So why all of a sudden is business intelligence important to SMBs? Well, it's helping them to address this increasingly competitive environment we were talking about, and also helps them to address customer requirements and differentiate themselves and their customer service. However, there are some challenges that are getting in the way of them adopting business intelligence, and the top one is that Excel is seen as a business intelligence tool. It really isn't, but there is an acceptance of Excel as a BI tool. And that is because basically there's a lack of understanding of all of the other benefits that are inherent with BI software. And there's also a perception of complexity, that the software is too complex for them to be able to use. Moving over to unified communications, unified communications is a very interesting area. It's been around for 10 years, but there still is not a consensus even amongst analysts on what all is involved in unified communications. It's kind of everything but the kitchen sink. However, about half of SMBs do have some type of unified communications initiative underway. And that's because about three-quarters of SMBs worldwide are multi-site organizations. So, of course, unified communications helps them to streamline their communications. VoIP, which is an enabler of unified communications, is becoming much more well-known in SMBs, and penetration is increasing, and it's becoming increasingly available as well. And also, mobility is a top priority amongst 29% of SMBs. And again, unified communications to help can help streamline communications for mobile employees. Now, the top challenges of unified communications are that it's not a UC is not seen as strategic, whereas BI is viewed as a strategic initiative. Unified communications is more or less seen as a nice to have. It would be nice to streamline communications. It would be nice to improve productivity. But until they see the real return on investment of unified communications, they don't really see it as strategic. That's because they have a lack of familiarity with the benefits. And they're also afraid that with the market for unified communications constantly evolving, that as soon as they put in a solution, it's going to become obsolete. One of the ways to overcome that, of course, would be to provide unified communications in a hosted environment through SaaS, where they're not making a huge investment in the technology, and when it changes, they get the latest and greatest as well. Moving over to Web 2.0, about a quarter of SMBs plan to invest in Web 2.0 technology in 2008. That's not a very high number in comparison to large enterprises. The top plan investment area is in survey tools, and the lowest plan investment area is in social networking and podcasts. So what we can conclude from this is that both business intelligence and unified communications will be emerging investment areas for these companies. And just as I mentioned on the previous page, they're going to consume these solutions through multiple delivery models. I included a discussion about security because it continues to be a top priority for SMBs, and compliance is an emerging priority that is associated with it. SMBs spend almost twice as much of their IT budget on security as large enterprises, whereas large enterprises spend somewhere between 3 and 6% of their budgets. SMBs spend somewhere between 5 and 10% of their budget. And if you look at the important issues in the diagram on the left, you can see that there just about every security issue is important to SMBs. Data security, including mobile security. We talked about mobility, business continuity and disaster recovery, application security. These are all important areas for SMBs. And there is new appliances that are coming out that are called unified threat management appliances, and they include basic routing. And they're gaining traction, and the first place they're gaining traction is in SMBs. Because of the concern around ROI, SMBs want multifunction platforms, and they're going to learn to wait for capabilities to be added to these platforms so they get an increase in ROI. And what they're looking for from their security products is secure security products with price, performance, and simplicity and scalability. And if you look at the bottom of the chart on the left, you can see regulatory compliance listed here by 67% of SMBs. And if you look at the chart on the in the lower right corner, these are various compliance initiatives. You can't read them. It's HIPAA and SOX, et cetera. And the data tells us that less than half of the SMBs are fully compliant, but most plan to be partially or fully compliant in 2008. So there's going to be a lot of purchase activity around compliance solutions. And there are new compliance appliances, like ones, like recent announcements from a company called LogLogic, that are trying to provide easy to use solutions to these compliance problems. And of course, we have the obligatory opportunity slide that needs to go in these presentations. And basically what you see here is a view of IBM's general business market, and we have sized it as a $326 billion opportunity that is growing at 4.7% year to year. And then looking at specifically at the mid-market, with 100 to 999 employees. This represents more than a million firms worldwide, and the opportunity is in 2008 will be around $139 billion. And if you look at the growth rate, it is clearly much higher than in large enterprises and small enterprises. And then exploding mid-market on the right, you could see the various growth rates and sizes of the geos, and America's group, of course, represents the largest size, but Asia Pacific, excluding Japan, represents the highest growth rate. Looking at the market through Software Group Brands lens, you can see that 6.3% growth rate is what is projected for Software Group. So that completes the trend section. Now we're going to look at customer buyer behavior, and we're going to see some behavior around project initiation and what the customer is buying and why they buy. What I'm going to be showing you here now is representative of what we consider to be the mid-market, which is 100 to 999 employees. And we're going to look at who initiates a project, why they purchase a project, and I don't have a separate slide in here on what they're purchasing, so I'll describe this now, which is the bar on the bottom of this slide. The majority of what the customers are spending is on application and IT management projects, and CRM is the top application, and decision support management is the top IT management project. So we'll start with who initiates a project. And very interesting information has been discovered from what we call our continuous market intelligence system, which is a system that keeps our fingers on the pulse of what's happening in the market. Looking at the mid-market view from 2006 to 2007, you can see that the growth in non-IT influence on project initiation grew from 35% to 45% in 2007. And that directly came from those that were IT-only initiated projects. Looking in the lower left-hand corner, you can see pretty consistently that the bottom dark blue bar is entire company, that these projects are done for the entire company. So what we can conclude from this is that non-IT executives are demonstrating an increased reliance on IT to help them solve their entire company's business objectives. And looking at this a little bit more closely by role, the table on the right shows the top roles within C-level and IT executive management and line of business management. And by the pie chart here, you can also see that LOB and C-level are playing a fairly large role in making these business decisions. So we can conclude here that role-based marketing is becoming increasingly critical for growth in the mid-market, especially looking at non-IT roles, which are playing a significant role in influencing decisions in this market. Now, looking at the drivers of purchase over the past 2 years, you can see in the circled area that something called workforce effectiveness and go-to-market effectiveness continue to be the top market drivers in 2007. But now we have the addition of protecting business assets is becoming increasingly more important. So there were six drivers. There are six drivers that we look at in our CMIS, Continuous Market Intelligence System, and they are characterized by a number of different business objectives. So take, for example, workforce effectiveness. Workforce effectiveness is characterized by business objectives such as improving employee access to information, improving employee productivity, et cetera. looking at go-to-market. This has to do with creating or improving distribution through multiple channels and reducing time to market and reducing sales or marketing costs, et cetera. So those business objectives are really the top business objectives that are driving IT purchases and have been driving IT purchases over the past couple of years. Now, this in 2007, we have also added protecting business assets, and this really makes a lot of sense when you think about the trend that I just covered with you on security and compliance and how important those are. And following very closely, 18% to 17%, is what we call IT optimization, which is all around optimizing IT. So now what we're going to do is we're going to connect the dots. We've been talking about project initiation, and we've been talking about market drivers. So who is leading the decisions around projects that address these market drivers? LOB is represented by the red line, and you can clearly see that LOBs lead project initiation for projects around workforce effectiveness and go-to-market effectiveness. The blue is C-level, and you can see they're concerned about cost effectiveness and process improvements. And, of course, the green is IT. So this helps to inform us that if we're talking to LOBs, it would be a good idea to talk to them about stuff like collaboration, stuff like CRM. If we're talking to C-level executives, they're probably interested in ways to save money and in things like decision support systems. So when these decision makers want to finally make a product selection, where do they go for information? The top source for information in the mid-market is colleagues and peers, and that is by far, as you can see by the top bar. Everything else is a very distant second, such as, you know, trade shows and customer references, etc. This tells us that viral marketing is becoming increasingly important in the mid-market, including leveraging such things as social networking tools. If you think about it, when they want to turn to colleagues and peers, they don't necessarily need to pick up the phone. They don't necessarily need to walk down the hall and talk to one of their colleagues. They can go online, and they can read blogs. They can join social networks. So there are many ways in which turning to colleagues and peers can happen. And this is why when these conversations are going on, viral marketing helps to influence positive discussions around your products and services. Now, the rest of the charts that we're going to talk about here are going to have to do with projected spending by SMBs in 2008. And now we're talking again about SMBs in general, which are companies of 1 to 999 employees. And this is information that came from a Forrester survey. And the question was around which initiatives are going to drive your investments in 2008. And you can see the top four, which are improving efficiency of IT and data utilization, and improving customer management capabilities and business continuity and disaster recovery, map very well to the market drivers that we got from CMIS. And these are going to be the top priorities for purchases in 2008. So specifically, what are they going to be buying? Well, looking at planned spending for packaged applications, first of all, we can see that about half of SMBs are using healthcare management and enterprise resource planning and customer relationship management and order management software. And nearly a quarter of them are planning to spend on ERP and CRM in 2008. Now, most of the planned spending for 2008 is for minor upgrades to existing software applications. So where is the first-time purchase? It's highest in CRM and in order management software. And order management software includes e-commerce. Looking at infrastructure software, the highest SMB first-time purchase for plan for infrastructure software is around collaboration and portal software. And just looking at penetration here, you can clearly see that app servers and database software have high penetration. They're the most prevalent infrastructure software currently in use amongst SMBs, and both also have the highest percentage of planned minor upgrades in 2008. So we know collaboration and portal server software have the highest planned first-time purchase. So looking a little bit more closely at collaboration software, this is by company size, by upper mid-market, lower mid-market, and small companies. The first striking thing that you see by just looking at these bars, even if you can't read the percentages, tells you that the purchase planned spend is similar amongst all three company sizes. The bars look and are arranged fairly similarly. Messaging, instant messaging, and team collaboration are all very high. Social networking applications are the lowest, and that kind of makes sense because it's an emerging technology. And as I mentioned earlier, investment in Web 2.0 is only going to happen by a total of about 25% of SMBs in 2008. Okay, finally, final section, looking at channel partners, how do mid-market companies purchase IT software, and what are the attitudes of channel partners towards these emerging software delivery models that we talked about in the trends section. I mentioned to you that SMBs are looking for several characteristics in their resellers. They're looking for overall experience in implementing the application. They're looking for the ability to offer a complete solution, and they also want their partners to understand the vertical industry needs of their business. So in other words, they are looking for a trusted advisor. They want somebody who can come in and understand what they need, offer them a complete solution, and take care of their needs. Because they have to depend on their partners so much to help them solve their business issues. And this is information from CMIS again, and this is mid-market, and this just tells you that solution providers, which is a generic term that we use for third-party channel partners essentially, are involved in design and brand selection in the majority of mid-market projects. So this tells us that business partners like yourselves continue to be the primary channel to reach the mid-market. Now looking at the behavior of channel partners a little bit more deeply, IBM conducted a primary research project at the end of last year in the United States where we asked regional systems integrators and ISVs about their plans for using alternative software delivery methods, specifically around software as a service and appliances. And if you look at the diagram at the bottom of this page, you can see that 40% of respondents completed at least one project over the past year using software as a service. 34% use software appliance, 32% a hardware appliance, and 25% virtual appliance, which makes sense because virtualization is an emerging technology that is just now really beginning to take hold in the market. This is very interesting. This tells us that these business partners are aware of these alternative delivery methods and are willing to use them. What's even more interesting, though, is that the incidence of currently conducting, planning, or investigating across all of these delivery methods is even greater than the past year experience. So this suggests that there will be continued growth in the use of these alternative software delivery methods. So looking at each individual one a little bit more closely, looking at SaaS first, the benefits of software as a service, which we talked about in the trends section, they're known and understood by these partners. And they also recognize that there are some things that software vendors can do to help mitigate some of the limitations. So a little bit more specifically here, two-thirds of these partners indicated that the top benefit of SaaS is making solutions affordable. A smaller proportion of them said that SaaS enabled them to expand their customer base. As far as a limitation is concerned, security was frequently mentioned, followed closely by dependence on an internet connection, with about one-third of them mentioning connectivity as a disadvantage. And a chart on the bottom shows five different suggestions that we made for what the vendors can do to help mitigate some of the SaaS limitations. And by far, the top choice was a guarantee from the vendor related to service outage. Turning to appliances, overall, again, appliances are well known and used, and you can see by the diagram that software appliances are preferred. Ease of installation and low cost are the key benefits of software appliances, and for hardware, hardware inventory is cited as the largest disadvantage of hardware appliances. One interesting finding and insight from the survey that we did was that those who completed a SaaS project or are currently working on one are more interested in a hybrid model. And what we mean by a hybrid model is a combination of part of the solution is hosted and part of the solution is on-premise, and the on-premise could be an appliance. And so those who completed a SaaS project were much more interested in this approach. About half of them said that they were extremely or very interested in the hybrid model. And significantly more of them who completed a project using SaaS are extremely or very interested in the hybrid model. So this tells us that once they have experience with SaaS, they see the benefits of perhaps combining on-premise and hosted solution environment in order to overcome some of the drawbacks or inhibitors of software as a service. We asked some questions about emerging technologies like SOA and social networking. And you can see, first of all, in the upper right-hand corner, the results for social networking. And about half of the respondents do offer social networking tools to their customers. And they cite a better client communication and better feedback and input from customers as their top reason for offering social networking tools. And of those who didn't, many just cited lack of customer demand. But the concern over security of social networking tools is very low and did not appear to be an inhibitor. Looking at SOA usage, about a third say that they are currently investigating or considering SOA for the mid-market. And you can see in the red here that more ISVs at 38% than RSIs at 24% are currently deploying SOA. And finally, the majority of these partners agree that emerging technologies are going to impact their business in 2008, and they're going to seek to partner in order to help them to innovate. So the first statement, as an example, which says, I believe that changes in software delivery will impact my business in 2008, 62% of them said that they agree with that. Their organization uses collaboration and partnering to innovate in the areas of in the area of software delivery. 60% agreed with that, and so on. So these partners that we surveyed in the U.S. recognize the emergence of software delivery models, recognize that they are going to impact their business, and plan to do something about it if they haven't already in the coming year. So essentially, to summarize, wherever you're coming from in your market, whatever role you're playing, hopefully this information will give you some insights on what's going on in the market. But the bottom line is that this is a very exciting market. There's a lot happening. There's a lot of opportunity. And hopefully you can learn how to take advantage of this and figure out what is the best role that you can play in this fast-growing emerging market. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Laura for some polling questions.
Thank you. As just mentioned, we would like to conduct a survey consisting of 6 questions today. To participate in the survey, please press the star.
Actually, there are only 2 questions.
Okay, I'm sorry about that. To participate in our survey, please press the star key followed by the digit 1 that corresponds to your choice, or the digit that corresponds to your choice. And for our first question, do you think the market intelligence information you heard here today is useful for your business? If yes, press star 1. Or if no, press star 2. And for our second question, does knowing this information change how you approach selling into your market today? If yes, press star 1, or if no, press star 2. And please stand by for a moment while we compile your responses. And with that, we'll conclude today's survey. Thank you, everyone, for your participation. We'd now like to move into our question and answer session. If you'd like to ask a question today, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. Again, that's star 1 if you'd like to ask a question.
It's interesting, Debbie, while we're waiting for questions to line up, we had a few comments as you were going through the material, and we got into areas like the software appliance. You know, it became apparent, you know, why IBM bought the Foundations offering for Lotus.
That's
as well as Lotus Blue House.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very useful. The other thing, I sent a link to the participants in the chat window, because another area while you were talking was talking about the focus areas in terms of business needs of this customer set. And IBM over the last couple of years has put a lot of emphasis on, rather than marketing based on products, to market based on business needs, including the programs such as employee productivity. And what's key with that is we then align our product offerings under that umbrella and market to the needs of that customer set. And I sent a link out to participants so that they could take a look. And the other programs include things like effective software delivery and leveraging middleware investments, addressing things like governance and risk management, and enabling business flexibility. But in the case of empowering people, that happens to be one of those programs that is primarily Lotus collaboration software and WebSphere portal software. And what we try to do is pull all the parts and pieces together in terms of product offering information as well as demand generation information that makes it easy for our partners to find out on Partner World. So you could see immediately the direct connection between, you know, the market intelligence that, you know, some of us in the past used to think, whoa, that was like 5-10 year future information. But no, the information you're providing is very real and very usable now.
Right, and it is influencing the direction that IBM is going in. So we're listening to the market and we're responding in appropriate ways.
I'm inviting our participants to offer their comments or their questions. One of the questions that I would have for you all, and you can certainly email me or answer in the chat window, Debbie's information is focused on software group, general business, and then she has colleagues, some of you may know Carol Galvin with the Lotus team, who could provide a similar talk, but focused most specifically on Lotus and WebSphere Portal, if you find that would be valuable, we can set that call up as well. So let me know if you would like to hear this kind of information, but have it focus most specifically on the Lotus product family. I'd be interested. One of the questions we had is whether this presentation is posted. All of you who registered for this talk today received a couple of different emails, one confirmation and two reminder emails. And in all three cases, there was a link to the Lotus Channel Competitive Talk replay page. And that is where today's presentation is posted. And that is also where you will find the replay, the audio replay files once we get them and get them posted in the next couple of days. Any other questions? By all means, if you'd like to type your question, I'll ask Debbie.
And there are no questions in the queue. Again, that's star one if you would like to ask your question aloud.
Debbie, we have a compliment for you. Your questions, presentation was so clear that at least one of the participants has no questions for you. And thank you.
Well, thank you.
It was very clear, actually. And what I found myself doing was, as you were reviewing the information, I was, you know, trying to make my connection in terms of how my brain sees it with information we are putting out there for our partners or questions in terms of how they're selling, particularly, for example, when we talk about the workforce productivity, employee productivity, you know, it's key to be talking to the line of business manager who's feeling that pain.
Right.
Versus the IT manager who's going to be the one that gets called to implement.
Right, exactly.
We have one comment here. I've lost new SMB accounts due to unified communications. Cisco business partner seems to know about MS integration, but never heard about Domino Cisco integration. How will IBM address this issue? That's a very good question, Emilio, and that's a question that I can't speak to directly on today's call, but I will take that back to the Unified Communication team and see what they have as a response. The answer is probably there, not well publicized, so that's something that we can address. Thank you for that comment and question. I will take that back with us.
And there are no questions in the queue.
Okay. If we have no further questions in the chat window, I would say that that concludes today's call. Any other comments or questions? Otherwise, thank you all for your time. And, Debbie, thanks so much for taking the time today. And again, to reinforce what Jose Rodriguez was saying, this was a very clear presentation and it probably prompted no further questions at this time.
Okay, great.
And Emilio, I will certainly follow up, and I have your email address, so I'll follow up with you on your question and comment today as well. Thank you all, and I look forward to the July talk, and I look forward to your email suggesting topics you would like for the call. Bye for now.
With that, we will conclude today's program. Thank you, everyone, for joining us.